Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This truth I have for you this morning will revolutionize your life. As a child of God, what I'm going to share with you this morning, that's a fact. And you may have a lot of Bible verses memorized. You may know good doctrine. You need to understand this. This is paramount. This is for real. I owe so much to God. I owe Him my lifestyle. I owe Him for the food that I eat, my children, the church, my health, my wife, my grandkids, the clothes that I wear, the car that I drive, the abilities that I have. I owe it all to God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, the scripture says in the book of James. The Bible tells me in Corinthians that God is the God of all comfort, the God of mercies. Everything I have, I owe to Him. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 25, and let's begin reading with verse 14. This is rehearsed again by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, and He refers to cities. This passage that Jesus, what Jesus teaches here, is a contrast between those who use God's gifts for Him and those who use God's gifts for self. This is a great big truth. There are a lot of talented people in the family of God that don't use what God has given to them for God. They use it for themselves. Now, the gift of eternal life is free. Understand this. I would rather live in a pup tent outside the city gates of the New Jerusalem than in the best place hell has to offer. Salvation is free. There's no difference, man, woman, male, female, Greek, barbarian, wise or unwise. There's no difference. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We're saved by faith in Christ and Christ alone, not by works, lest any man should boast. But the Bible also tells us we are appointed after salvation unto good works. Here's what a lot of people aren't getting in the family of God. And maybe you haven't understood this. You say, man, I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by mercy. It's a free ride. It's a free lunch. Jesus paid it all. I confess my sin to Him and I'm in. I'm a member of the family of God. And you're going to heaven. But you will be rewarded in heaven and according to what you did for God here on this earth. Not what name you made for yourself. Now what selfish accomplishments you have obtained. And by the way, if you think life is about making money, you're a mess. And you're going to mess up everybody around you. If you think life is about hoarding and getting things and accolades and awards and the praise of men, Jesus said, you'll get your praise here on this earth. You'll receive no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So every good thing, everything that God has placed in my hands, this is where the rubber meets the road. I need to use it for God. I need to ask God, God, what do you want me to do with this? God, where am I to go with this? God, who do you want this to go to? Just use me as a channel. Matthew chapter 25, let's turn there. You're already there, look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Listen to the words of Jesus. Who called his own servants, that's people of God, and delivered unto them his goods. Everything I have, I owe to God. Talk about stewardship. Everything I have, I owe to God. Even a singing voice, as limited as it is, that's from God. Man, I better not be using that for myself. I'm going to lift my voice for God. I'm to honor and praise God. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. You didn't get it. You didn't earn it. God gave it to you as a child of God. And God can take it away. It says here in verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. There's an all-powerful God that distributes the gifts of the Spirit to the family of God, Romans in chapter 12, as he sees fit. One man had 5 talents. Now this is talents of silver here, but One man had 5 talents, another man was given 2, and another 1. We don't need to compare ourselves among ourselves. That is not wise. You know what I see in this passage? I may forget to say it when we read it. God was just as pleased with the man who had 2 talents and was faithful as he was with the man who had 5 talents and he was faithful. Just as pleased. It's a big truth. I'll come to that in a moment. God distributes, the master distributed his gifts according to the servant's abilities. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. It's not his. He's not getting rich. He's doing it for his master. And likewise, he that had received 2, he had also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That day of reckoning is coming. For the saved, it's the bema seat of Christ. For the unsaved, it's the great white throne judgment. They will hear the words, because their name is not recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his servants. Those at the bema seat are never going to hear those words, but they may hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's read on here. Then he that had received the 5 talents, I'm sorry, down to verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. In the Gospel of Luke, it's referred to as cities and not talents. We will reign during the millennial kingdom according to our faithfulness right now. A lot of people that have a lot of abilities here on this earth and are getting a lot of praise from men and are using their abilities for selfish gain will be paupers in the 1,000-year kingdom. Their selfish hearts will be revealed at the bema seat. Read on. He also that received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, same words. He's just as pleased. I don't have to be as talented as Pastor Bill. I'm not in a race against Pastor Bill. He has been given gifts of God, and I have been given gifts of God, and I need to be faithful with what God has placed in my plate, and he needs to be faithful with what God has placed in his hands, and we will receive. If we're faithful, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. It's not a race. If we are faithful, listen, if you're a little old lady and all you can do is pray, that's all you got. You're faithful. You hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, and reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. By the way, don't be afraid of life. That's an excuse. He really wasn't afraid of his master. Jesus said he was lazy and evil. That's why he buried his talent. His excuse was, oh, I was afraid of you, God. But that's not the truth. Let's read on here. Verse 25, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord said unto him, and by the way, I got to say this, God demands fruit. He demands faithfulness with whatever God has put in our hands. He can't just bury it. It can't be as far as a church. We 4 and no more. Man, we need to advance the cause of Christ. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked, that's evil, and slothful, that's lazy. Thou wicked, thou evil and lazy servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtst therefore to at least have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take therefore, in other words, the laziest of men could have done that. You ever wonder why he buried the talent? Could it be in his heart It was his. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And everyone that saith, unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he that have abundance, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Take your Bibles and turn to... Well, first of all, I'm going to fly through this. I already took a whole lot longer than I planned on this passage. You might want to write this down. Write down Mark chapter 12 and verses 41 through 44. If you can turn there fast, do it. I'm going to turn there. Mark and chapter 12 and verses 41 through 44. Point number one. I just have 2 points. Several sub-points, but 2 points. It's the same truth coming from 2 different directions. I told you the greatest truth of all is forgiveness of sins. We need to shout it from the mountaintops. We need to tell everyone who listened that Jesus saves. We need to bring people, take them by the hand, and take their hands and place their hand in the hand of the Savior so that they will find eternal life, so that they too can have forgiveness of sins. That's the greatest truth of all. After you get saved, here's the next greatest truth. And I'm telling you, it hit me like a ton of bricks when I finally put it all together and I understood. Number one, your best is good enough no matter how small it is. You might want to write that down. I mean, I'm not going to get a whole lot deeper than that. Your best, talking about faithfulness, is good enough with God. And no matter how small it is, I'm not in a race against you, and you're not in a race against me. We don't need to compare ourselves among ourselves. We are required by God. It is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. We are stewards to the gifts and the abilities and the personalities and everything that God has given to us. We're stewards of life. We're stewards of the gospel. And we are required to be faithful. That's all God wants. And if God has only given me a cup of water, if I'll be faithful with that cup of water, that's all God desires. And I'll receive I love the words of the Bible, full reward at the Bema seat. You see, the handicapped boy or man or woman that is mentally not on the same level as everybody else, but they know enough to get saved, or they're even don't know enough to get saved, and God covers them. They're not innocent, but God, with his grace, they're going to heaven. They haven't reached the age of accountability. If they have to reach the age of accountability, and I know several, and so do you, where you know they love God and they serve God. I know some that have all kinds of Bible verses committed to memory, and they have very little ability, but they're faithful. I'm telling you right now, at the Bema seat, full reward. Full reward. And here's a guy over here that has all kinds of talents and all kinds of abilities, and everybody gathers around him, and he's got, you know, and everybody's oohs and ahs at the things that he accomplishes. But he holds back on God. That's the man that hid his talent. Remember, it's a comparison, a contrast between the one who takes all that God has given to him and he's faithful, and the one who takes all that God has given to him and he's building his own little kingdom. Jesus here tells us your best is good enough, no matter how small it is. Mark chapter 12, verse 41, the widow's mite. Jesus sat over against the treasury. This is in the temple. And behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Jesus said, the widow, 2 mites. Everything she had, she's faithful. The rich man, $1,000 in the plate, not even his tithe. He's a rich man, holds back on God. He's not faithful. Doesn't matter how small it is. Your best is good enough with God. Your best. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 8. Don't have time to turn there. Mary, anointing the feet of Jesus. Jesus said she's done what she could. John in chapter 6, verse 9, the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He needed to feed thousands. He gave everything he had. It was just a small sack lunch. And God used it. He blessed it. And there were 12 baskets left over afterwards. Because he did what he could. He gave all that he had. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said, God, I can't lead these people. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And God said, you surrender that slow tongue, I'll fill it. Moses kind of balked at God. And God said, okay, listen, you got Aaron? Aaron will be the mouthpiece. You surrender to me. Pick up that rod. You surrender to me, and I'll use Aaron as your mouthpiece. He's a Levite, and he can speak, and he's good at talking. I'll use him. But what's interesting to me is you don't hear Aaron saying a whole lot in the Word of God. God used Moses in spite of Moses' lack of faith. Your best is good enough with God, no matter how small it is. That's why Jesus said out of the mouth of babes, God loves it when little children tithe. Loves to see their little fat hand, their little fat fingers take their tithe and put it in the plate, because they were taught that by mom and dad, and that's what the Bible says, and God loves that. And if that little boy or little girl is tithing and you're not, they're giving more than you are. God didn't need your money. But God blesses faithfulness. Your best is good enough no matter how small it is. And here's a thought. By the way, faithfulness now will affect your glory of service in eternity. That's what Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 25. Some of your teenagers, you don't know what it is to tithe. That's the farthest thing from your mind because you're selfish. You know, serving God, I'm only going to go to church when mom or dad make me go to church. That's because you don't understand. Maybe you're not born again. Maybe you are born again and you're just a baby. Maybe you don't understand. Perhaps you're an adult. You got all kinds of wherewithal. I don't think we got a millionaire in this church, but we got a lot of thousandaires. You know, and you got all kinds of, and it isn't all dollars and cents. You got all kinds of possessions and all kinds of wealth and some wealth that you can't measure, and you've got all kinds of talents and all kinds of abilities, and you can have a prayer closet. No matter how poor you are, no matter how untalented you are, you can have a prayer closet, and you got all these abilities, and God has given them to you. God has given you your children. God has given you your job. God has given you your health. It's all from the hand of God. And here's what you're doing with it. Man, we got room in the choir for more singers. But, you know, I know you got all kinds of excuses. I'm not chewing you out. I'm not in the mood for that. But I mean, you can sing better than anybody in the choir, but you're too whatever to get in the choir. You know, maybe cleaning the church or building something that needs to be built. There's all kinds of abilities, and you're not using them for God. You know what? There's a day coming, day of reckoning. If you're saved, we stand at the Bema seat. Your best is good enough, no matter how small it is. I like that. That's God. Anything less than your best is not good enough, no matter how big it is. Anything less than your best is not good enough, not with God, no matter how big it is. Your best is all that God requires. That hit me like a ton of bricks. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 35, verse 1. Genesis chapter 35. This is Bible preaching here this morning. There are a lot of pew warmers in the family of God doing nothing. Say, I put my money in the plate. Let's not be so base. Let's not be so carnal. Doing nothing. There's so much that has to happen. And Sunday morning, Sunday school, I think, trying to share some of my vision with the adult class. And I tried to do that. Say, why are we going to do 2 services on Sunday morning? Because Chippewa County is going to hell. Right now, on the Lord's Day, I rehearsed this in Sunday school, There were probably three altar calls being given in Chippewa County, inviting sinners to come to Christ. That's a big problem. We don't have a big enough building. And somebody came to church last week because they heard about, they wanted to go to the big Baptist church out in Kinross and see what it was like. And they were here. We've just got so much room on our campus. Let's not let that limit us. We're going to go to another morning service. That means we're going to have some elbow room all of a sudden. Bang. We need to build another congregation, one church, but build another. And I've been getting counsel from all kinds of men that I respect on this that have done this. I know the pros. I know the cons. I know what I'm going to preach against. I know what I don't want to happen. And a lot of you have already expressed interest. Man, we'll come to all three services. We need to have some coffee and donuts in there 15 minutes at some point, and we're going to do that. We're going to build another church. And some of you, I need you. God needs you as soul winners. People that will take others by the arm and by the carload and bring them to church at 9:30 on Sunday morning. And we're going to have a half an hour service. It's going to be quick. One number, one special number, and then it's going to be Bible thumping, just like you get at the 11 o'clock hour. All right, and then 15 minutes, a break, coffee and donuts downstairs, not here in the auditorium, downstairs. And then bang, a half hour Sunday school. And we're going to have a half hour Bible teaching in all of our classes and then come back for the 11 o'clock. And I will need some of you to come to all three services. And you already came to me and said, man, we want to come. That's what we want. And there'll be a different man preaching each time. And then we're going to have Sunday night service at 6 o'clock. And if you think you're going to come to three services on Sunday morning and skip Sunday night, you've got another thing coming. If that happens, that's bad news for Pastor Josh and Pastor Bill, because that means I'll just preach the same message early and late. And so you got to come on Sunday night. Somehow we'll work that out. But the purpose is to build another congregation. And then we're going to be flexible about it. If it just works for the summertime, that's what we'll do. If we build two congregations and then we've got two offerings coming in and we're able to add on to the auditorium, then that's when we'll add on to the auditorium. We'll get it done. But we're going to reach Chippewa County for Christ. Here's the problem. There's too many people looking for what they can get, and they think that's worship. And that's not what worship is at all. Genesis chapter 35, this was preached by a preacher here not too long ago. It wasn't me. I don't know if it was. It might have been Pastor Bill. I don't know who it was. It might have been Pastor Josh. I know it wasn't last week. God said unto Jacob, arise up, go up to Bethel. That's the house of God, by the way. And dwell there. And make there an altar unto God. The God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, be clean, change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, the house of God. Notice what he says there. This is worship. He said, flee from the idolatry. Anything between you and God, put away the strange gods. Get clean, change your clothes, and we are going to worship. That's Sunday go-to-meeting church. Don't be too casual with God. I know that God accepts sinners right where they are. I understand that. Don't build a doctrine out of that. Don't carry that to the extreme so that you don't dress up, you don't wash your face. You're going to church not to bring God down to your level. You're going to worship. To worship. Here's what worship is. It's not about you or me. It isn't about let's come together and sing some warm, fuzzy songs and hear a little sermonette. And what did I get out of that? That's not worship. That is not worship. Worship isn't about me. I'm to come to church and adore God. I'm to worship Him. I'm to give Him my best. It isn't about Him making me feel good. Now, here's the truth. He does. He does bless me while I'm there. That's the good news. But I'm to come to work. That's why I'm so against what's called the contemporary church service. It's not about bringing God down to man. It isn't about come to church, come as you are, leave as you were. That's not it. It's worshiping God. It's coming and adoring Him. Here's the book. He tells us all about Himself. I learn about Him. It's God's written word, man. And here He is found in the 66 books that make up the canon, that make up the Word of God. And God is good to me. And I do leave fed. And I do leave blessed. But I've come to worship. Same thing's true with a phone on the computer. I know. I think that's a great convenience. I know where that can be very handy. But you know what a testimony it is to carry your Bible to church? You know what that says to the unchurch? Because they don't carry their Bibles to their church either. one of the first things that I hear this so many times. I remember how it impacted me. Mom and Dad got saved. We started going to church. You know, one of the distinctive things about that church, that little church? Everybody carried their Bible to church. That was awesome. I thought, wow, it's serious. We come to worship God. I really got off on a tangent there, didn't I? Anything less than our best is not good enough, no matter how big it is. Ecclesiastes 9:10, we're to do everything with all of our might. 11:6 says the same things. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Some people hide what little they do for God in the bright religious garments of the day and think they've arrived. Let me testify. I don't do enough for God. I don't even love Him enough. I fall so far short of the glory of God. I'm preaching to everybody here. Teenager, listen to this. You go to church, just put in some time. Man, you got to get right with God. Young couple, you need to put Jesus first. It isn't about being churched. It's about the church honoring God. That's what it's about. The best I have, that's what God deserves. I heard long ago the story firsthand of an American tourist who was a born-again believer visiting a missionary that they supported on the field in Korea. As they were traveling, they looked out into a, what do they call those fields that are underwater? Rice paddy. Looked out in the rice paddy and the guy couldn't believe what he was seeing. He said, stop. And he looked out in the field and he saw an old man strapped in a harness pulling their poor excuse for a single bottom plow. The man was pulling it. Behind him was an old lady struggling to keep the plow straight. And the American tourist said to his missionary friend, they must be very poor. And the missionary said, very poor. The tourist said, what sacrifice? Why no oxen? The missionary said, they sold their oxen to help build the church. And the man said, and he's weeping, what sacrifice? And the missionary said, that's just it. They didn't see it as a sacrifice. Full reward. Full reward. I look forward to hearing the words, well done. Before that, I want to hear, welcome home. Say, yes, I'm here. This is what I've read about. It's better than what I could imagine. Time for the Bema seat. Oh, I want to hear. I'm not saying I deserve it. I'm not saying I'll hear it. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.